Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah, and this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast. So the last few weeks have been amazing for me. I have so much to share and so much to say. It's just been really incredible, but I think, unfortunately, like, this podcast has definitely taken a backseat, which makes me sad because, you know, if you've listened to me or Liz over the last 3 years of doing this, this podcast means so much to me, and it's not something I ever want to give up on while I can. I want to keep doing it, and whether that means sometimes there are going to be some slower months or sometimes there are going to be months where I engage way more, either way, I definitely want to keep doing it. So that's not really a concern for me. The concern is really when I can give my best attention to it and when I can't. And basically, over the last few weeks, or actually, you know, a couple of months, I knew that my fiance Ben was going to propose. We had been talking about it for a while and we were just prepping for it. And we honestly started planning our wedding before we got engaged because the ring was taking a while, but we knew that we wanted to, you know, we knew we wanted to get the show on the road. And that was something that we had been speaking about for a while, honestly, ever since we knew that we wanted to get married. It was something that we had started talking about, planning, speaking about with our parents, etc. So I was really busy with a lot of that for a while, and it all kind of happened shortly after I picked back up on this podcast. So that's why these really important things were all happening at once in my life. I have been and still am planning a wedding, got engaged, had an engagement party. On top of that, my work life has been so busy. And, you know, between work life, planning a wedding, and all of these things, it's really hard to find time for your passions. And that's something I've been really struggling with, you know, is sometimes I wake up, I work all day, and then all of a sudden it's 7:30 p.m. and I have to either eat something and rest or try and, you know, or go out with friends to enjoy my day. And then my passions and my hobbies take a backseat, which, as I mentioned, makes me a bit bummed, but, you know, I have to do what's right for me and I have to prioritize what I need to prioritize at the right moment. So anyway, all of that is to say that my life has been busy in a great way. I'm very grateful, but this podcast still means a lot to me. So I'm still going to be doing it even when there are slower months for me. But anyway, moving into actually, before I move into Pecan Pit, I want to obviously remind you that this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp is an online therapy service. They have thousands of professionals that you can connect with online and find the one that's right for you. I mean, you could start speaking to a professional in under 48 hours, which is actually pretty unheard of for a therapist. And I obviously really recommend therapy. It has changed my life. It's helped me in so many ways. Even if you don't necessarily feel connected to one certain type of mental struggle or mental health issue, you know, therapy can be purposeful in so many ways and can enhance your life in so many ways. So BetterHelp is a great option. So if you're interested in using BetterHelp, go to betterhelp.com/itsfine for 10% off your first month of service. That's betterhelp.com/itsfine. So to go into Pecan Pit, my pit is that yesterday I was on my way out to teach yoga at 6:30 a.m. and my pinky finger got crushed in between my door and the wall. And it wasn't the door and the wall. It was like the door hinge and the wall. So it was like that little space. And it was like the most painful thing I think I've ever experienced. I thought my finger was broken. Thank God it turns out that it is not. But you should see my finger. It looks like a balloon. And I was in the ER for 2 hours and I had to miss the yoga class. And it was horrible. Honestly, it was horrible. And I wish this upon no one because it felt so awful. That was my pit for sure-sies. And then my peak is obviously that I got engaged. Getting engaged was probably the best moment of my life. I think that if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you've probably heard a little bit, not all of it, but a little bit about my dating struggles over the years. I dated so much and I honestly felt helpless. And then I honestly reached various points where I was just happy to be alone and good with being alone and wanted to give up on dating. There were other moments where I just felt like, you know what, dating is exhausting. I'm going to take a break and come back to it. There were just so many ups and downs, and there were many times where I felt like it would never, ever happen for me, even though deep down I knew it was something I wanted. You know, everyone wants something different. Or it's okay to want what you want. It's okay if you want to be single, and it's okay if you want to be in a relationship. And I was happy with both at different times, but I knew deep down I always wanted to end up with someone who was special and someone who made me feel safe. And I didn't think it was possible because I would go on so many dates and I felt like I was forcing connections with people, and I felt like people didn't really understand me. And I think waiting for that person was so worth it because I had patience and I figured out how to be single, and I was single for years, and I really found happiness in my independence. And then once I found that person for me, it made it so much sweeter because he loves my independence and wants me to be independent and encourages me to be independent and have my life and have my friends. And I've had boyfriends in the past who didn't really want me to be prioritizing hanging out with my friends. He just wanted to hang out me and him and with his friends. And that was really horrible for me because I felt so distant from my friends. Whereas Ben, who I'm with now, is always encouraging me, like, hey, have you spoken to that friend recently? Or, hey, you know who you should really hang out with is like that friend you haven't seen in a while. Like, I'm happy to come. Or, you know, you girls just go off on your own and do your thing. And sometimes we just have our days where we're doing our own thing. And then sometimes we're like, I miss you. I can't wait to be with you. And I just am really, I'm feeling very, very grateful. I didn't think it would ever happen. I was at peace with that. And then I met someone who changed my life, honestly, my whole perspective on life. And I'm just so happy. I'm so, 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 so happy. And yeah, so that's my peak. Getting engaged was freaking awesome. And if you look at the pictures, I'm like, I don't think I've smiled so hard in my whole life. Anyway, that was my peak. So moving into today's episode, today I am joined by Windsor Hanger. Windsor is one of the co-founders and CEOs of Her Campus Media, which you may have heard of. It's a huge, huge, huge company. They are an incredible publication and, you know, they're doing amazing things. So essentially, Her Campus is a publication that soared in popularity with college women across the country who were really asking for advice on different topics, things that were happening at their own schools, in their own lives, etc. And these women had the idea when they were at Harvard. You'll hear more about it, but Windsor is just so inspiring and she's so passionate about what she does, which is so refreshing to see because sometimes you'll speak to CEOs and they're very successful like Windsor, but maybe they've lost a little bit of that spark of that passion in what they do. But Windsor, speaking to her, it felt like she was starting this company right now. That's the passion I was getting and the enthusiasm for the company. So that was really amazing to witness and be a part of. As you'll hear in this episode, I had to keep it in because it was too funny, but we definitely encountered some issues with this drill that started in the apartment above mine, and it was so loud and we just kept laughing. And honestly, I was going to take it out, but it's hilarious in my opinion, and we just were cracking up. And I honestly felt that it was important to keep in because you have to know that things just don't ever really go the way that we want them to go or the way that we plan them to. And we have to just keep rolling with the punches when these things happen. I felt like it was an important thing to showcase here because obviously when speaking with Windsor, who so graciously took time out of her day to speak with me. I want it to be perfect. And here we are with this drill upstairs and we have to keep pausing. And all we could do was laugh. And I felt like that was such a good metaphor for life. And I had to keep it in. And Windsor handled it so gracefully. And I followed her lead. So if she honestly, if she had been like angry at me, I don't know what I would have done, because honestly, I couldn't have helped it. Obviously, it was not my apartment and no one warned me this was going to be happening. But I was just very grateful for the way that Windsor approached the situation. So as a reminder, Her Campus Media is the number one portfolio for college women and Gen Z. And there's a lot to learn from Windsor and her experience. So I hope you enjoy the episode. So Windsor, thank you so much for being here. You know, just as a reminder, this is the It's Fine and Fine podcast. I talk all about mental health and I love to hear different journeys and different experiences. And I know that we talked a little bit about how you began Her Campus and all the things. So I'd love to hear, first of all, your journey with mental health even before Her Campus and you know, from, I guess, high school or college or whatever you want, wherever you want to start.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm really happy to be here. Thank you for having me. And a little bit of background on me. So I'm the co-founder, president, and publisher of Her Campus Media. It's a company that I started when I was 20 with two of my classmates at Harvard. And we continue to run, own, operate the business to this day. It's been this incredible journey. And, you know, we do a lot of work with college women and young women in the mental health space. Mental health is so important for everyone, but especially for young women during those college years. There are super important formative years of your life. And there's a lot of research on the trajectory that you put yourself on from a career perspective right out of college dictates where you land ultimately at the pinnacle of your career. Just how high is that peak if that's your journey? A lot of that is dictated by how you start. And so we want to make sure that young women, college women, have tools, resources that they need to be the most successful versions of themselves. And that includes mental health resources and knowledge and awareness. And, you know, mental health is this very buzzy thing right now where I feel like a lot of people are talking about it and it's a super important topic. And I'm glad that everyone's talking about it because it was not always the case. And we talk a lot at Her Campus Media about Gen Z, obviously, because all college students right now in 2022 are members of Gen Z. But we're millennials. And when we started the company, college students were millennials. And the way that mental health is spoken about and shared about in public discourse is very different now than it used to be. And I think we are definitely headed in a better direction. There's a lot more transparency. There's a lot more honesty. There's a lot more openness for people to share what they're going through, because the uniting thing that I'm reminded of time and time again is people often feel like they're alone or they're the only person that's going through something. Mm-hmm. And that's just not true. So many people have had that same experience, that same thought, those same thought patterns, right? Or behaviors for such a long time. And, you know, it's really wonderful. I think that there's so much more exposure. So to answer your question initially, my journey with mental health, I was always very academically focused growing up. I'm in some aspects, not all aspects of my life, am I a perfectionist, but in some aspects of my life, I am, and academics was one of those. And in high school, I was at the top of my class and I decided that I wanted to be the valedictorian. That was my goal. And I realized by looking at my GPA, and they published the GPAs of everyone in the class, so you could look at that. Wow. Yeah, they would show you your class ranking. You could look at it anytime you wanted. And so I knew I was like number three in the class, and it was a weighted GPA, and AP classes got a certain weight, and honors classes got a certain weight. And I realized I had to take every single AP that my high school offered, and I had to get a 98% average in all of my classes in order to be the valedictorian. So that pressure that I put on myself, my parents were like, honey, we just want you to be happy. Do whatever you want to do, right? Like, and at some point I'd be stressing out and they'd be like, you don't really have to study that hard. Like, it's okay, right. You know, but I decided and I was going for it. And I created this super anxiety ridden environment for myself. And it got to the point where I would have panic attacks the night before a test. And I would freeze and I would hyperventilate and I would just feel like I couldn't do anything and I would cry. And it was really hard. It was really, really hard. And so, I started seeing a therapist and they put me on an anti-anxiety medicine, you know, and that helped me overcome that. But it was something we did not talk about, mm-hmm. right? Do not talk about that. Do not talk about it. And then I was a valedictorian. I got to Harvard and I got there and I realized, oh my gosh, I was at the top of my game. And my story in high school was, if you studied hard enough, if you tried hard enough, you could make a perfect grade mm-hmm. on a test. Like your brain was capable with enough effort of getting a 100%. That was not the case at Harvard. Mm-hmm. My brain was not capable of getting a 100% on these tests. Mm-hmm. And these feelings of inadequacy, because I realized some people, their brains, I know this sounds crazy, they work better than my brain does. Like, it's insane, you know? And you realize, I had a classmate and she, I don't know if it was a photographic memory or what it was, but she would look at a chapter in a textbook one time. She would flip through the pages and that was it. That was all she needed to do to study. It was there. It was locked.
Right.
And she could ace the test, right? So you're in this new crazy environment with these true geniuses mm-hmm. who have these next level brains and those feelings of inadequacy and the stress. And, you know, so I started seeing a therapist again in college, and there's a very high percentage of Harvard students that take an academic leave because they realize the pressure is just so much and they need to take a break. But, you know, I think it's something that for me, I didn't used to talk about the fact that I was on anti-anxiety medicines and the fact that, you know, I felt like there's something wrong with me that I can't just handle this. Mm-hmm. And then you realize it's super widespread, you know, and there's this whole like epidemic of anxiety and depression with college students. And it's really, I was really fortunate because Harvard had a fantastic student health center with your tuition, you got universal like health insurance and access through the campus. So everyone that was enrolled as a Harvard student had access to the student health center.
Wow.
At least from what I remember, and therapy was included in that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that was incredible, right? That we had that. So, but not every college has that. So it's a super interesting space where I realized how lucky I was, how fortunate I was, how privileged I was to have access to those things. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely this thing that I have struggled with. And I think a lot of people have. And the more we can just talk about it, say like, hey, that's normal, mm-hmm. and the better it will be.
Right. So that's really, first of all, that's really amazing that they have resources like that on campus. I feel like I went to Syracuse and the environment at Syracuse is obviously very different from Harvard. But I was at Newhouse at Syracuse, which was like people who really wanted to succeed in the communication space.
Yeah.
At Syracuse. So there was like a little bit more competition than just the rest of Syracuse. But I wonder, like, was it talked about on campus that people were going to therapy? Because there was this resource on campus, but I remember when I was in college, like no one spoke about, if you were seeing mm-hmm. a guidance counselor, if you were reaching out for help, like no one talked about it. But I also, you know, I can also assume that at Harvard, everyone really wants to achieve and everyone probably tried to be their best in high school. So, you know, I wonder, like, do people talk about that at school? Or was it a talked about conversation that people really wanted to achieve? Or what was that like?
No, I don't remember talking about it very openly. You know, I don't think it was something that we shared. I think my closest friends knew that I had these appointments and I would go to see a therapist and talk through stuff, but it was not something that we spoke about publicly. And also, I mean, the social media environment was so different. Mm-hmm. Like Facebook was only for college students, right? When I was in college.
That started at Harvard, right?
It did. It started at Harvard. And so, and then Instagram came out maybe when I was in college. Pinterest came out when I was in college. So I actually am just Windsor on Pinterest because I had a very early Pinterest account. I think it was pre-Snapchat, pre-TikTok, right? Mm-hmm. And so I also think the way that people share now, the way that people communicate on Snapchat with messages that can disappear, it's different than, I mean, I had a BlackBerry in college, right? Like, it's so funny talking about this, but you know, we weren't communicating in the same way. I wasn't communicating via video with my friends. Right. I wasn't video chatting or sending pictures back and forth. I had a camera, right? So long ago. And so, you know, it's, I think that that's also this, social media is very complicated and there are so many amazing things about social media and there are a lot of bad things about social media too, but it does enable us to speak more directly and more frequently with a broader group of friends and to stay in touch. And that's the beautiful part about it. And I think it can also lend to a little bit more honesty and openness as well. If you feel like, you know, maybe you can chat with your friends from high school, right? Mm-hmm. While you're in college and send them videos and photos of yourself, Snapchats, right? But I didn't have anything like that. I would call my friends or send them like an old school text from my BlackBerry.
I know. I feel like social media is beneficial for so many reasons, but at the same time, I don't know if I personally could have handled the current day social media when I was in college. I think there's a level of comparison that we didn't have back then.
That's true.
And there's a level of, you know, even as a 27-year-old woman, I find myself looking at 15-year-old girls on TikTok thinking, you know, why don't I look like that? Why am I not? It's, you know, they're years younger than me. And they're completely different stages of life. And I'm like, should I be dressing like that? Should I be looking like that? And then I'm like, no. Like, they're 15, they're 16, they're 17. Like, why would I want to be like Charli D'Amelio? But there's a layer of, you know, obviously we know that social media glamorizes people's lives. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I feel like it's gotten to a whole new level recently. And I even, as someone who works in advertising and understands it, there's so much, Instagram and TikTok are such highlight reels that there's so much you can do. There's so much editing you can do. And I still fall for it. Sometimes I feel like it's such a natural thing. But I guess what I would also love to know is, where did the vision for Her Campus come from? And how did you make it come to life? I kind of know from myself, but everyone, I want everyone to know. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So Her Campus Media started, right now we have five different brands, Her Campus, College Fashionista, Spoon University, The Influencer Collective, and Generation Hired. They all focus on young people and helping provide them with opportunities to grow, especially professionally. And so we started though with Her Campus, and Her Campus is the voice of women on college campuses. We started it in undergrad when we were running the women's publication at Harvard. We took it over. It was a side project, extracurricular, and it was really exciting, and it was fun, and it was just something we were doing kind of on the side. But what we realized is that most schools had a school newspaper, and very few schools had a women's publication on campus. And we also looked at the broader women's media landscape, and at the time with print magazines, it was like Teen Vogue, 17, Cosmo Girl, YM, many of which are no longer in print. And then you graduated from high school and it was like, you're a woman now, congratulations, right? Here's Vogue and Self and Cosmo. And those are all fantastic publications, but they target a woman in her 30s. Mm-hmm. So you're like, okay, so I'm 18, I'm living on my own for the first time, I'm trying to get along with my roommate, I don't know how to eat in a dining hall and stay healthy, and I'm dating this guy and my classes are stressful and I feel like I'm supposed to get an internship, and like, what's my resource for that, right? Yeah. From a media publication expertise standpoint, it did not exist. Mm-hmm. And we pair that idea with there's no Voice of Women on college campuses. There's no women's pubs. There's no larger media brand at all that focuses on that very special period of time when you're in college. And then lastly, there weren't a lot of opportunities for aspiring journalists or marketers, communication experts, people in advertising, PR, to get real work experience on campus, right? It's like, well, I did marketing for the theater club, right? Like yeah. for their play, which is like, kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
But in terms of marketing associations, advertising, PR, communications, journalism, there weren't a lot of resources. And so we kind of put all this together and came up with the idea for a national platform where any person, not all of our campus correspondents are women, but any person can launch their own lifestyle publication on college campuses and could create a team. We give them a template and it's a platform. And then you can kind of run with it and do whatever you want with it. And so it's been really incredible and so inspiring to see what our communities on college campuses have been able to do. And I think young women are such an incredible group. And like, there's something so special about an 18, 19, 20 year old college woman who has got the rest of her life kind of in front of her and big dreams and aspirations, and giving her tools and a platform to grow. And is just so exciting because we require 5 to 7 women or 5 to 7 people on your team. And our average team is 30 people strong. And we have some campuses that have 300 people on campus, right? And we're not telling them to find 200, 300 people. That's just, they're motivated and excited and it's an opportunity and they can grow. And then they're using this to get their jobs. It's also this incredible way for young women to find community on campus that's not related to partying. It's not related to an exclusivity thing like a lot of Greek life is. Mm-hmm. And I was part of Greek life. And I think there's a really wonderful benefit of being part of a sorority. But the downside is it's you have rush and it's exclusive and you cannot make it in to, you know, a group. And also then once you're in one, it's like sometimes they don't necessarily you know, there's a little bit of separation, right? And you can't do your sorority things with a friend who didn't get into your sorority. So this is a much more open, welcoming community. And it's been fantastic for so many women during their college experiences and their college years where they feel like they made their best friends. They figured out what they wanted to do when they got out of college. And then it actually helped them land their first internship or job.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Like I knew what her campus was, but hearing you talk about it is like, I wish that I had something like that on campus because I also was in Greek life and I feel like I didn't have, no offense to Syracuse because I know their advertising program is amazing and like I'm super grateful that I went there. But I feel like the work I was doing in advertising as like extracurriculars, I wasn't so passionate about. And maybe it's because the brands I was working on, maybe they just didn't speak to me, but I feel like if I was working on like if I was advertising for like some type of woman-based or woman-led group or something, I just felt like it would have been so much more relatable.
Yeah.
So that's really incredible. And I would love to know, and I don't know if you have like one specific answer to this or if it's just an open conversation, but if you feel like that the needs and the wants of women on campus have changed since you were in school, like, do you feel like you're learning things about women in school now and they're just, are they different? Are they the same? Do they want the same things? I don't even know.
Yeah, no, it's so interesting. I mean, I think a lot of the things they want are the same. They want a good job after they graduate. They want close relationships and friendships, right? They want to feel safe on campus. They want to feel confident in their bodies. They want to like the way that they look. They want to feel like their clothes are cool, right? And like they look, feel like they look good when they, you know, go out. But some of the things that have changed are actually related to the business side of Her Campus Media, which is the way that we make money is we help brands connect with young women in meaningful ways, because young women, so women over their lifetimes influence 80% of all consumer spending. So whether you're directly buying something or influencing the purchase within a household, consumer spending is driven by women.
Wow.
And when you have young women, there is this amazing opportunity to introduce your brand to them in impactful and meaningful ways that will last for the rest of their lives if you make the right impression on them. But you have to do it in the right way. And I think it, the way, and today's college women are so sophisticated. And I think a lot of it is social media, and they've seen so many brand messages and so much advertising, and they've been just like, you know, covered up with all these brands trying to get their attention, that they're very sophisticated in terms of what actually will move the needle for them and what will actually make a positive impression. And it has opened the door for brands to do really interesting things that I don't know if they would have done 10 years ago when it comes to targeting college students. So three examples that I have for you. One is Procter & Gamble. We work with them, and we've worked with Aussie Hair Care. We've worked with a shaving brand called Joy and Glee. And right now we're working with their venture arm, P&G Ventures, that is actually trying to find more young women innovators to invest behind. And so what we're doing is we are connecting them with, calling them campus technology scouts, which is young women who are in STEM. It's the Next in STEM Challenge, and basically connecting Procter & Gamble and Procter & Gamble Ventures with this need to support the next generation of women in STEM. Mm-hmm. And it's helpful. It's great for them. The program itself is working really well, but the halo effect from that program is that young women are like, oh, Procter & Gamble cares about supporting women in STEM.
Right.
They want to support female scientists. They want to support female innovators. That's important to them. That's a brand value
right.
that they have. And having that association is invaluable, right, for a company and for a brand. It's like we stand for something. Because today's college students and college women, they're like, okay, cool, so you have a nice product. That's awesome. But what do you stand for as a company?
Right. I've learned the same in our, what we do. Well, what I do as well.
Yeah, because you're in advertising,
yeah.
you know, and it's, but it's, and some brands are like, what do you mean? I just make really good toothpaste. Is it my toothpaste itself? And it's like, right, but what are your brand values?
Right.
Like good toothpaste? No, good toothpaste, super clean teeth is not a good enough brand value.
And also to add on to that, you can't just say it's a value. You have to prove it.
You
have
prove
to
it.
Show that you're yes. actually doing something. You can't just say we care about da da da.
No, exactly. Yeah. Like put your money where your mouth is. So, right. you know, the other two examples are CeraVe, the skincare mm-hmm. brand. They have always been focused on nurses, right? And they really did this big nurse and give back program. And they were like, okay, so how do we connect with young people? And I was like, well, we should just tie it all together with mm-hmm. your focus on nurses. And we launched the CeraVe Future Nurses Scholarship. And for them, they were like, we want to support the next generation of nurses and ran this big scholarship program. And originally, this was like so incredible. We were going to give away $25,000 in scholarships. So $5,000 scholarships. And we got over 700 applications of current nursing students about like why they chose the nursing field, because there's a nursing shortage everywhere, mm-hmm. right? Like COVID has been so hard on the healthcare industry and so hard on nurses in particular, because nurses, my mom's a nurse, like carry the brunt mm-hmm. of the work in hospitals, right? And they've just been leaving in droves. And so CeraVe is like, we want to make sure that nurses feel like it's important to be a nurse. It's special to be a nurse. We're celebrating mm-hmm. nurses, and that it's really incredible to be a nursing student. So this scholarship for nursing students, and we got 700 applications. We sent them our top 10. We're like, these are our top 10. We went through all 700 applications wow. and CeraVe came back and they said, we can't pick five. We want to give scholarships to all 10. Mm-hmm. And they doubled their scholarship. You okay?
I'm sorry. This has never happened before. Are you serious right now? I don't know what's going on. Please stop. Please. Oh my god. Why is this happening?
What is it?
I don't know. Oh my god. I can't believe this is happening right now.
It's all good.
I wonder if there's a way for me to go on mute while you talk.
But won't it still record
oh, you're that so sound? Right, you're so right. Okay. Oh my gosh. Oh my God. I'm so mortified. This is so, you know, not my I feel like everything is going wrong today.
No, you know what? It's all good. It's all good.
They could have told me that there was going to be some type of construction. Oh my goodness. Okay. Stop. Oh my God.
Okay. I'm cracking up. I'm cracking up right now.
Oh my God. Okay. Enough. Oh my God. I'm going on mute for a second. I just can't believe this is real right now. Okay. So, let's go back to
We gave them 10. We gave them 10.
Right.
Okay. So we gave the CeraVe team our top 10. And they said, we cannot pick 5. We want to give scholarships to all 10, which was incredible. They doubled their scholarships, giving away $50,000 in scholarships. And then we're doing this big package that we released on National Nursing Day to celebrate these 10 women. And there's a big profile on them on hercampus.com. Yeah. And it's a celebration of them. And, you know, it's a, if you can't see it, you can't be it type thing. And mm-hmm. really showing nursing students as role models, right? Because it's so important. There's certain areas that in certain types of people in certain jobs, it get a lot of glamour and a lot of excitement. And it's like, that's an amazing job. And there are so many roles and positions that are just fundamental to the way our society works. Absolutely. We need people to do those roles. And I don't think we do a good enough job celebrating, you know, those people in those positions. So, and CeraVe showing up for them and doing that is, it's amazing. It's great for the world, but it's also good advertising, right? Yeah. Like, it just makes sense. And then people see CeraVe and it's a CeraVe Future Nurses Scholarship, you know, and they're like, oh, right, that's what CeraVe cares about. Yeah. So, you know, I get to work with brands in these really deep and meaningful ways. And it's just gotten deeper and more meaningful as the years have progressed. And the last example I have is a program we're doing for Kate Spade. And Kate Spade has mental health as a huge arm for them. Mm-hmm. And Kate Spade herself died by suicide. And they decided that they needed as a brand to really show up and step up from a social impact perspective mm-hmm. for mental health. And as one of their initiatives, we have worked with different communities and are actually in the middle of a program called Let's Talk, Exploring Journeys in Mental Health for Black Women. And it for them, it's that every different community thinks about mental health in different ways. And so we did a lot of focus groups and insights, and we have Black female mental health clinicians, PhDs, professionals. We have young women who have had mental health struggles and everything in between, celebrities come in and just share these open and candid conversations for their community in particular. And it's been so meaningful and so impactful. And so the fact that I get to do scholarships and mental health programs, right? And Next in STEM challenges, and they're technically advertising programs, mm-hmm. but it feels so good because it's making this larger impact on the world. And the fact that, like, that's what works for Gen Z mm-hmm. also, like, works for the world. And it's this great, beautiful, positive feedback loop. So I have loved following this, like, this journey of young women and what they care about mm-hmm. and helping brands follow along with right. that journey as well.
Right. That's incredible. Do you feel that mental health is something, like, I kind of want to tie it back into mental health, and I know we just did, but, like, even more so, do you find that mental health is something that her campus, like, publication, the campuses are talking about more and more? Like, I know we kind of talked about at the beginning how mental health is kind of like a buzz thing right now, right? It's becoming way more common, and it's definitely not the same as it used to be. When I was in college, I was in therapy, and I couldn't speak about it because I was mortified that I was going to therapy. And that's kind of why I started this podcast. You've got to be kidding me. They were done.
I thought they were done.
Okay, I think their table is finished. You drilled the holes. how is her campus treating mental health on campus? Or do you find that it's been, oh my gosh, do you find that it's been like more, should I go knock on their door and say, hello, people are recording podcasts here. Do you find that it's been more prevalent on, I don't know if I should leave this in or
maybe
should I leave this into the podcast, because this is not helping my mental health. So this is actually enhancing my anxiety. So if this could just please stop. I'm so sorry. Okay. I don't know what they're doing. Are they installing a television?
I know they're doing something big.
Something big. Like, this is not a picture frame on the wall.
No. This is like
full on installing a closet, a new bathroom.
Something big.
A sink. They're putting a sink in there. Okay, there's a little pause. I guess what I'm trying to ask is, like, how do you feel like mental health is played more of a conversation in her campus media and on campus in general?
Yeah, it's super important. We, during the beginning of the COVID pandemic, we looked at how we could support college students in particular. And one thing we realized was that so we wanted to give back to college students during the pandemic and in a way that would be most helpful. And we realized that graduation had been canceled. And that is a huge deal. It's not just, yeah, there's a ceremony. No, it's a celebration. It's a capstone. It's a way to say, like, I did this amazing thing, and I get the ceremony, and I wear the funny hat, and my family comes, and we do all of the things. And that didn't happen. Right? It just went away. Because remember, the pandemic really started in earnest in March, mm-hmm. and graduations are in May and June, and it just didn't exist, right? So we did this big virtual graduation ceremony. We got so many celebrities to come in and do commencement addresses. It wound up being over 6 hours long. It was insane. Wow. We got Eva Longoria. We got the Jonas Brothers.
Oh my gosh, you got the Jonas Brothers? I'm a huge Jonas Brothers fan.
It was anyone amazing. Anyone
who's listening to this episode right now is like, oh, wow.
It was great. We got Cal. We got all these amazing people. And then we partnered with Active Minds, and Active Minds is this nonprofit that has a presence on 800 college campuses, and it really, that it's these mental health awareness chapters on college campuses. And so we partnered with them, and we did a big donation to them, and they were kind of our official nonprofit partner and cause partner for that entire event. So we certainly have been identifying mental health as a recurring focus. It's a need. I mean, if you're mentally louder.
It's so much louder.
It's louder.
They were like,
we're like gonna drill into your ceiling.
Yeah, I feel like they're coming in here.
They're coming in. If you're not okay mentally, it's hard for anything else in your life to be going right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Period. We're done.
We're done. I think that's all we can say.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Widzer, thank you so, so much. I honestly, I'm keeping this in. At this point.
You gotta keep it in. It's...
I think that... Oh my gosh.
It's authentic, Sarah. It's,
yeah,
it's
cool. I think at this point, everyone needs to know that things may seem perfect from the outside, but on the inside, there's always hiccups. There's always, I don't know. I think that something I really need to work on is not being so overwhelmed. I'm a very overwhelmed person. Things like this happen, which the listeners will hear this. And it's like, how do you react to it? And I feel like I could either spend my whole night being so sad that this happened, because like, I'm so grateful that you took your time to be here. And like, you know that I've had scheduling issues with work, and like, now this is happening. And I could either take the road where I'm like, this is so sad, or I could just laugh. And right now I'm choosing to laugh with you.
You're never going to forget this interview. I know. That's for sure. I know. You're going to remember this one. And I will too.
Okay. It's like, it's fine. I'm fine. Made an impression. Was it a good one?
Was it fine? You know what? It's fine. Honestly, it's fine. It's fine. I'm fine. Are you fine?
I'm fine. As long you're as fine. You're fine.
I'm then, fine. Okay. It's fine.
Okay. Okay, actually, I do have one more question.
Sure.
Do you feel like you personally, as like your CEO, right, that your title is CEO, so do you feel that your position still has you in this must be, like that same type of mindset you had to get into Harvard? Or I have another question.
Irrelevant.
I have one more question.
The universe laughs on your questions. They're like, no, one more. Not happening.
Okay. Do you feel that your mindset has like shifted since then, or just like with experience, it's gotten better?
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's always going to be a rat race on some level. And no matter where you are, no matter what you've achieved, you're going to get exposed to a whole new level of possible achievement. Mm-hmm. And so recognizing that, I think the key to happiness and contentment is just being really focused on what does success look like to me? Mm-hmm. Like in my heart of hearts, what would success look like that I care about? Not that I want to post on social media, not that my friends care about, not that my parents care about, not that my partner cares about, but what is it for me that will make me feel like I'm successful? And the society will tell you money or fame, right? Or whatever it is in business, it's revenue and certain number of employees and press and awards and accolades and all this stuff. But you're always going to be chasing something bigger. Right. And I could look at Whitney Wolf Herd and she's on the cover of Forbes with her baby and she's taking her baby to the New York Stock Exchange when Bumble went public. And I could be like, oh, I suck.
Right.
I am not doing that. I'm not achieving at that level and I'm a failure. That's one perspective. Or I could say, how cool for her. What a role model. How inspiring and amazing for young women that they can see this badass entrepreneur taking her baby with her to the New York Stock Exchange. Like, that's awesome. You go, Whitney. Yeah. Right? And that's good for her. And that has her success has nothing to do with me. Right. It is her success and hers alone. And recognizing that that's her story and that's her journey with Bumble. And I need to celebrate that. And I need to focus on my journey with Hercumbus Media and my journey as an entrepreneur and my business and make sure that my North Star is what makes me feel happy and fulfilled. And the things that are important to me are spending time with my husband, with my kids. I am a like extreme extrovert. So I need to see a group of friends weekly. That's important to me. I like to travel, right? I want to have close relationships with my colleagues because you spend so much time with them. I want to be friends with them. I want to feel good about the work that we're doing, like I'm having a positive impact on the world. I want to create a great company that people feel like I am happy I have this job. I love my job. Yes, sometimes it's hard, but they're really excited about being an employee at Hercumbus Media. That's really important to me. So I think it's really just making sure your North Star is your own. It's focused on your values and your intentions, because otherwise you can, it's all a lens that you look at the world through, right? And being an entrepreneur, I think I forgot your original question because I'm on this like journey right now.
This is amazing. This is literally like the bit. This is what I'm taking for the clip. This is great.
But, no, but it's really just like what everyone's definition of success is so different, you know? And you can't look at what someone else has achieved and think you're better than them, think you're worse than them, because it's really individual. And I think that's the biggest thing that drives you back to being content. And, you know, as a business owner too, an entrepreneur, as a professional in general, you know, it's, I recently, this is related, I promise, but I read Scott Galloway is someone I'm obsessed with him. He's a marketing professor at NYU and a thought leader, and he has all these companies. And he wrote this essay about the definition of being rich. And the definition of being rich, he's like, what does it mean to be rich? Being rich is being happy and content with your lifestyle mm-hmm. and spending less than you make, period. Mm-hmm. If you are happy and content in a tiny studio apartment in the middle of nowhere, and you eat super basic food and you wear super basic clothing because you want to have this certain lifestyle and that makes you happy, and you make enough money to have the lifestyle that you enjoy, you are rich. Guess what? You're rich
right.
because you have more money than you need.
Right.
And it's just about anchoring on what do you need and what's that lifestyle and what do you actually need to make yourself happy mm-hmm. versus what is society telling you that you have to have.
Right.
And being really centered on that, I think, can really set this entire mindset around, am I successful? Am I worthy? Am I good enough? Don't let someone else's success or ideas dictate what you do with your life. Because I think there's space for everyone to be healthy and happy and contented, but you have to make sure that you know kind of who you are and what you want and what your goals are.
Beautifully said. I have nothing else to add. That was amazing. I'm listening to you, like, taking it in for myself. I'm like, yeah. And I forgot that we're on a podcast. I'm like, this is amazing.
No, I mean, it's good. I mean, and honestly, that whole thing about the being rich thing, when I read that essay, it was like a light bulb moment in my head.
Really smart.
Because you get in a comparison mindset, right? And you're always going to compare. And like, you achieve a certain level of what you thought you wanted, you get there, but then you see all these other people that are higher than that. And then you want that.
Right.
And then you want this. And then you want this. And it literally never ends. Think of the most successful person, you know, they have people.
Mm-hmm.
That they envy, that are more successful than them. Everyone does.
Right. So true. And every time you tell yourself, like, I remember I used to think that I would be happy, and this is a little different, but I would be happy once I had da da da.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then once you have that, you're like, wait, what did I even want? Because now I want this. So I don't even remember. And someone asked me the other day, because I guess my definition of success looks a little different than everyone's definition of success looks mm-hmm. different for themselves, as you're saying. And I remember the other day, I was talking with a friend, and she was like, oh, like, have you taken time to think about the fact that, like, you got what you wanted? And I was like, no. And she was like, well, you've been talking about this one thing that you worked really hard for, and then you got it. And, like, she's like, have you, like, processed that you achieved that goal? And I was like, no. Like, no. Not even in the slightest. I literally, all I've been thinking about is that I haven't reached the next goal. And mm-hmm. she's like, no, Sarah, like, no. That was your number one goal for like years, and you got it. And she's like, you're not even, or when I was promoted to account supervisor last year, mm-hmm. immediately it's like, well, what's the next step? Like, well, how long is it going to take to get to account director? And then it's like, wait, are you going to talk about the fact that when you were an account executive for years, I was like, when am I going to get to account supervisor? Like, I'm stressed. I don't know. How am I going to get promoted? And then you get promoted, and like so quickly, you're already onto the next thing. So it's the same with money. It's the same with happiness. It's the same with success. It's just, you have to, you know, decide what your goals are, and like also take the time to just acknowledge your wins. I feel like if you never acknowledge your wins, you're constantly living in this, like, they're better, that's better, it's never going to be enough. And then you always think that once you have the next thing, you're going to feel happy, but that's just not the case. There's always something else. So
that's not how it works. That's not how the world works. Right. Things don't make you happy.
Yeah.
Even achievements don't make you happy unless you have that anchoring within you that, like, I have achieved what I wanted. I have achieved my goal.
Right.
I'm content with what I've got.
This was amazing.
Thank you so much.
We did it. Woo! Thank you.
We did it.
I'm so happy. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. This was amazing.
Of course.
I'm really honored. So thank you.
No, of course. And I can't wait to listen to you.
Thank you so so much for listening. As a reminder, you can find me at Sarah L. Sassone on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. You can follow the pod at It's Fine, I'm Fine Pod on Instagram. It's Fine, I'm Fine PD on Twitter. And that's pretty much it. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next time. Bye.